In my hotel room in Minneapolis, where I'd come for a writer's conference, stood a small refrigerator. The sign on the front read, Robo Bar. Cautiously, I opened it. Inside, stacked in clever aluminum racks, were little bottles of wine, airline miniatures of bourbon, scotch, vodka, and gin, and cans of beer and soda, and a price list. Simply pull out the beverage of your choice, read the instructions, and the cost would automatically be charged to your room bill. It was all computerized. I wasn't thirsty. I closed the door and did not open it again for 2 days. The room was a regular booby trap of consumerism. The TV had a pay-per-view device, activated by punching in a digital code. Beside the telephone was posted a whole card of 900 numbers, and by punching the appropriate extension, you could have your shoes shined, your suit pressed, flowers or food delivered, all without talking to a human being, all charged automatically to your account by the big computer in the basement. I was afraid to touch anything. I imagined a water meter attached to the shower, an electric meter on the thermostat. What would it cost me to break the sanitary seal on the toilet? I wanted to call home, but I didn't dare pick up the phone. I felt like a human coin trapped inside a giant vending machine. Late on the evening of the second day of the conference, I was sitting in my room, talking to a couple of old friends over a nightcap, when there came a knock at the door. In walked two more friends. "Oh, we heard you're having a party," one of them said, making himself comfortable on the bed. His date sat down beside him. "No," I said, "we were just talking." Just then the door burst open and people began pouring into the room. "We heard there was a party," one of them said. I said, "No, there's no party." She said, "Where's the bar?" I felt caught in one of those stunts in which you try to find out how many people can stuff themselves into a phone booth. Partiers kept arriving. Somebody turned on the TV to a music video channel. I was trapped between the crowd and the window, hemmed in by bodies. I watched, helpless, as they discovered the Robo Bar. Hands began reaching into the open refrigerator and snapping cans and bottles out of their clever little racks. I could practically watch the numbers rolling up on my hotel bill. Desperate, I called out to a poet friend, Carolyn, who was standing near the Robo Bar. She couldn't hear me over the party noise, but she comprehended at once. She grabbed my baseball cap off the dresser and held it out to each customer in turn. He or she would fumble in pockets for wadded-up dollar bills and change and throw it into the hat, an honor system. In about 10 minutes, the Robo Bar was cleaned out, even the apple wine. 10 minutes more, the room was deserted except for my two old friends. The crowd stampeded into the elevators. Somebody heard about a party on another floor. I could not bring myself to count the money in the baseball cap. I knew it could never be enough to cover cans of beer at $4.75 a pop and shots of liquor at $6 apiece. Before breakfast next morning, I slunk down to the hotel cashier. She presented me with a bill for $146.54. Nervously, I counted out the money that had been left in the hat. $146.34. 20 cents short, I said, laughing from relief. What? The cashier said. Never mind. It wasn't exactly John Henry pitting human muscle against the steel-driving machine, but it was a small victory of human integrity against the technology that traps us into automatic choices. And it reminded me once again that sometimes, if you trust people to do the right thing, they will, give or take 20 cents.